Please take your Bibles, turn to two books very close together. The first is Matthew. The second one is, guess what it is? Mark. Is Matthew any closer to Malachi than Mark is? Well, in history it's not, but in our Bibles it is. Matthew chapter 15, and then Mark chapter 7. I'm going to read two accounts of the same event that took place. So we'll start with Matthew 15, and then we'll go to Mark and stay there. Okay? So we'll start with Matthew chapter 15, starting with verse 21. Okay? Matthew 15, 21, it says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away. She cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and she worshiped Jesus, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not fitting or meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She said, Yeah, that's true, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole right from that very hour. Wow, what a story. Now let's go to the book of Mark and read an account that gives a little bit more detail, different detail. The gospel writers gave these inspired books to us, and God guided them to include certain details for certain reason in their particular writing than somebody else's. And so in Mark, now chapter 7, verse 24, we will start there. Mark 7, 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by name, by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet or fitting to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said to him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil had gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Just a little bit different detail, adding some things that the other writer chose not to have. You know, sometimes we think of ourselves as being so needy and so unhelpable that we believe that there's no hope. That's the way this woman was regarding her daughter. Sometimes if you're a believer in the Lord and you know you're a Christian, you're saved, and you look out there in the world and you see what's there and you say, these people are so detached from truth. They're so far away from what God says they should be. It's going to be impossible to ever reach them. How is anybody ever going to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in our culture? It's so bad. People are so far out. Well, I'd say that this lady was kind of far out too. Let's talk about her for just a little while. These disciples that were with Jesus at this point, they had come from a very closed culture. It was not a good culture in the sense that they made a great big deal out of very small things. If you didn't wash your hands a certain way, you know, you were wrong. And they didn't wash their hands so that they would be clean and wouldn't eat germs. They did it because that's what the church says you ought to do. And you got to do it this way, and you got to do it this way, and you got to let the water drip down your elbows. All kinds of rules they had that weren't in the Bible at all. And they made a huge deal out of that, but they didn't love anybody. And they were all about their religion and their church, but they didn't love people. And the disciples that went with Jesus to this place, by the way, this is the only time it is recorded in the Bible where Jesus left the area of Palestine. The only time. He goes out of the country. But inside the country, by and large, the Jewish people in Palestine there, they were a closed system. Everything, they just had it. All their rules, everything, formalistic religion, closed to anything on the outside, and anything on the outside just looked, was their comment on the outside. That's not in the Hebrew or Greek there, that's just my interpretation of it. Ugh. It was just, how could these people be like they are? It was difficult for the disciples to see what was there. And the Lord wanted to take a little bit of time away from the disciples, and so he went to this place out of the country to go into a house. So, and he didn't want anybody to know about it because he wanted to have some time alone with them. Well, this lady had heard about Jesus, even though he was from another country, and so they were found out. Their secret place of rest and repose was found out. But it was good for the disciples, because they saw the beginnings of the fact that our Lord Jesus was just not for the we four and no more. I think part of the purpose for this text is to show that Jesus has power in the spiritual world, but also that he has other sheep outside the fold. And as we look at this story, we can have encouragement. If maybe this is you, maybe you're this woman outside the fold, you don't know the Lord as Savior. Bible things are foreign to you. You don't understand them, and you're not sure about your relationship with God. Or maybe you're already a Christian, and you feel like you're living in sort of a biosphere, and everybody out there is all scary, and I'm going to stay as far away from them as I can because they're really weird, and there's no hope for them. That would have been the attitude of these disciples, and indeed it was, because what did they say? Send her away. Get her out of here. We're supposed to have this time for ourselves. Get her out. Sometimes Christians can be that way. We don't want to be bothered with all these children on Wednesday night with their bubble gum and their dirty hands all over our windows and glass doors and all. Well, get out of town, brother. Because you don't have a heart for those children. Sometimes Christians can be that way. This is a wonderful story that can give us great encouragement. I want to share three big truths with you this morning. The first one is this. God's grace reaches across the farthest cultural distances. God's grace reaches across the farthest cultural differences. Here's this woman. She's a pagan. She's a Gentile, a non-Jew. Syrophoenician, the cities in Syria there, they were independent. They had their own kings. They had their own coinage. They had their own armies. They had their own gods, everything. They were, to the Jewish people, that's not only just a different country, that's a different planet. Just way far out there. And then here's this daughter of this woman who is in terrible need. Somehow she's given in to Satan, and Satan has taken control of her. But Jesus said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus told, you know, my ministry primarily right now is to the Jewish people. However, it's not going to stay that way. That's just the base from which I am going to reach the world eventually. Gentile country, characterized by very little light, very little truth, very low moral of anything. Matter of fact, one time when Jesus was in Palestine and he was, all these people, he had done miracles and everything before them, and they still didn't believe, Jesus said, you know what? In the judgment day, those people up where this lady lives are going to have it better off than you are, because you've had much more light than they have. And you've rejected it. It's a fearful thing to reject gospel light. Jewish people, the disciples that went with him that day up to Tyre and Sidon, they didn't expect to find anybody interested in spiritual things, let alone a woman, because they were Jews and they looked down on women. Their Bible didn't. Everywhere the Bible has gone, the status of woman has gone up, not down. But Phoenicia and a Phoenician woman, you know who else was a Phoenician woman? Back in the Old Testament, her name was Jezebel. And she was the wife of the wicked King Ahab. Yeah, that's what they knew about that place. Well, Jesus' ministry was primarily with the Jews, not the Gentiles, but the disciples needed to know, oh, wait a minute, there's something going to happen here. The fact of the matter is, when you look at the New Testament in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you find the Lord ministering and even commending Gentiles that were among the Jews. Jesus said to the non-Jewish centurion, go home, your servant is healed. He said to the people on that occasion when he sent that Gentile back home who came to Jesus for help, he said, you know, many are going to come from the east and the west, and they're going to recline at the table with Abraham and in the kingdom. But the sons of the kingdom are going to be cast out. You know what he was saying? He was saying, you know what? God's going to save a lot of Gentiles who right now, you look at them and they're on the outside, but you're supposed to be on the inside, but you're rejecting light. Those people are going to be in the kingdom and you're not. That's what he was saying. Jesus said there were a lot of widows in the days of Elijah, but you know, the widows in Jerusalem and the Palestinian area, they didn't get healed, but Zarephath did up in the region of Sidon. There were lepers in the time of Elisha. None of them was cleansed, but a Syrian was cleansed. So even on the inside, even in the biosphere of Palestine and the Jewish people, he was hinting. Jesus was saying that God's grace reaches far beyond cultural distances that you and I see. New Testament talks about that in Ephesians chapter 2. He is, we who were sometimes were far off are made near, and it's all by the blood of Christ. And so what God has done in this age, he has put Jew and Gentile together in what he calls the church, the body of Christ, and we are equal. The ground is equal at the level of the cross. It makes no difference what your background is, where you came from. The ground is level at the cross. And the point, when we think again of this woman who was so far away and out of any sense of biblical truth in Christianity, and yet desperate she was, and the Lord reached her. The point of this, God's grace reaches across the most distant cultural places and people, and no matter how far you have run from God, no matter how much light you have previously rejected or not even had, no matter how many times you fail, makes no difference, God's grace can reach you. That's number one. Number two, God's compassion extends to the deepest needs of human hearts and to the darkest corners of humanity. God's compassion extends to the deepest needs in the darkest of hearts, in the dark corners of humanity. His compassion extends. Here's a certain woman. No husband is mentioned. She falls at his feet. She's desperate. She's humbled. She's full of grief and pain. Her daughter, her precious daughter, is in the grip of a demon. You know, when you talk to parents about their children, there's something that gets really sore quickly. There's a special place in the heart of a parent for a child. And you see this woman desperate for her daughter. The Lord sees that. Imagine the grief of Adam and Eve over the death of Abel. This has never happened before. What is this? This is the fruit of disobedience. That's what it is. Think of Job in the Old Testament, burdened for his children and grandchildren, praying daily for them. Think of the brokenness of David over his son Absalom, who rebelled. Oh, Absalom, Absalom, why? Think of Jairus and his daughter. My little daughter, my daughter. You see, the Lord, in the book of Isaiah, is called the man of sorrows. He is acquainted with griefs. The Lord hurts when people hurt. And there are a lot of hurting people out there. Some right here. God wants you and me, if you're a believer, to weep with those that weep. We are like Jesus when we hurt with people. When we can see their need and their hurt and their sorrow, and we can, oh Lord, have mercy on them. When we can feel with them, He is the man of sorrows, acquainted with our griefs. And that's why we're encouraged in the book of Hebrews as believers, we're to come, let us come to our high priest, the Lord Jesus, who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because He was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. The disciples wanted to send her away. That's not compassion. That's not compassion at all. But what about this little statement that Jesus made in verse 27? What about this thing about children and dogs and the table? What is that about? Sounds like a put down, doesn't it? You know, she comes to Jesus and, please help me, my daughter. And Jesus says, you know what? My ministry right now is to the Jewish people, and I'm feeding them, and, you know. And the way He says it, let the children first be filled. It is not fitting to take children's bread and give it to the dogs. Now think about that for just a little while. You'd think, what? You mean my daughter is no more important to you than a dog? Wait a minute. That's not what was happening here. In the Bible, there are, in the New Testament at least, two different words for dogs. One of them has to do with dogs that run in packs and ravage and tear people up and all that stuff. That's not the word here. Jesus knew the Phoenician culture, and in that culture, they had what I'll call puppy dogs. They were in the house. That's what this is. And what Jesus was saying is, in your house, do you feed the dogs first or do you feed your children? Well, the answer is, of course, I feed my children first. But after I feed my children, I give them some wheat Chex off of the table. Teens will understand that. I'll have a bowl of wheat Chex in the morning. I'm the alpha dog in the house, and my dog doesn't eat until I eat. But after I eat, my dog gets a few wheat Chex. Jesus was far from putting this woman down. He was saying, yes, this is for you. God's grace reaches farther than any cultural distances. His compassion extends to our deepest need, and he knows how to meet the needs. And number three, God's deliverance or provision is as close as simple faith. God's deliverance and provision is as close as simple faith. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus said, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence, and so on like that. What is great faith? Let's think about this a minute, because this lady has great faith. Over in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said, O woman, great is thy faith. What is great faith? Well, some people have the concept of great faith is sort of a humanly generated power that I just sort of beam up to God. You know, some sort of an electric thing where I ching, then I send it off. That's not great faith. Great faith is properly placed confidence in the object of faith. This woman had great faith because great faith is great confidence in the one who can do something about it. That's what great faith is. Some people want to try to work themselves up. Lord God, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to try. I'm going to get it. I'm going to work it up. Ooh, here it comes. Boom. That's not great faith. Great faith is great confidence in God Almighty, whose grace extends farther than any cultural distance, whose compassion goes to the deepest heart's need. God's grace, God's deliverance is as close as simple faith. What's your need today? What is it? What kind of grace, what kind of enabling grace do you need? It's helpless, it's hopeless, there's nothing I can do. I'm never going to be able to get through this. Wait a minute. Of course you're not, because right now your faith is in yourself and what you can do. How about having great confidence in God and surrendering yourself to Him so that God can say about you, you have great faith. Great faith is not something that you work up. It is something that you finally realize, oh, He is my answer. He is the answer to my guilty conscience. He is the answer to my feeling that there's just something not right. I'm not sure whether I'm right with God. He's the answer to that. He's the answer to all of that. His grace And his compassion goes to your deepest heart need. And it's not by being a Baptist or whatever. It's by being a Christian through faith in Jesus alone for salvation. And then walking with him and resting in his care and allowing him to be all that he wants to be for you, either to change your situation or to help you to live through it, even joyfully with tears at times. His grace is sufficient. It is. And your faith in yourself isn't. This lady got the blessing. A heathen pagan gets right with God by simple faith. Wow. What a story. Dear Christian, what is the deepest need of your heart? I've been here 26 years now, over, and I've gone through a lot of things with a lot of families. I've stood at the head of many a casket and held back my tears because of people's loss. God wants us to hurt with those that hurt. We are most Christ-like when we hurt with those who hurt. And then when we reach out to them in love and show them that the Lord Jesus himself is the answer to their need, may God give us hearts like Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this wonderful story, this true event that occurred. And we can look back on it now and we can see how you commended this woman for her great faith. And she wasn't even inside the fold at the time. She was on the outside. Lord, perhaps there are some in our midst today that are on the outside. Oh, Lord, draw them to yourself. Draw them to yourself. Trouble them about their relationship with you. Trouble them about their sin, their past. Trouble them about facing eternity without knowing for sure that they're safe forever. And then, Lord, for those of us that are believers, oh God, give us great faith, great confidence in your enabling grace to help us. And may we be like Jesus and hurt with others and reach out to them. We pray in Jesus' name.